subject. He's coming. He's coming. Thank you for the song. Turn in your Bible to Romans, the fourth chapter. Romans, the fourth chapter. And we will read verses 6 and 7. Romans, the fourth chapter. And it'll take us a few minutes to get there, but we are going to let the Lord speak to us this morning through His Word. And we believe the Word of God in this church. We believe that it is the Word of God. Not that it contains the Word of God, but that it is the Word of God. And with that in mind, I want to speak on, we're so blessed. We have a Bible. We have one in the pulpit. We got them in the pews. You have Bibles at home. And if you don't, you can have one, because we'll make sure that you have one if you just tell us. But we are blessed to have the Word of God. Many times in the book of Psalm, the Scripture says, we are blessed. You listen, we're going to work our way to our text. And Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that does not do three things. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Listen, this man avoids the companionship of the wicked. And in Psalm 2:12, blessed are all they that put their trust, their faith in Him. And Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2 are almost similar to our text today. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Now, the man that maketh the Lord his trust, he made a decision to trust the Lord. He made the Lord his trust. Now, God has blessed us and favored us with his Son, with his love, with his peace, with his life, his salvation, with his presence, with his power. He has blessed us with his purpose. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us. He hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What a verse of Scripture. God called, he saved us and called us for his purpose. And he provided grace enough for us to do his purpose. And it was all given to us in Christ before the foundation of the world. I don't know if you've thought about it, but you are important to God. And I've heard people say, well, I'm not worth anything. You know, maybe you've heard, you may have said it, I hope not. But people have said that and not knowing. But listen, you are important. Before God spoke this universe into existence, he had a purpose for you. And that's from eternity past. You are important. The Scripture says, before the world began, God blessed us with liberty to walk with him. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's the reason we pray for the Spirit of God to be in the services and to be in our lives, because then there is liberty. The Holy Spirit can move and work and meet our needs. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We do not use liberty to please the flesh, but we are set free to serve the Lord. We have that liberty. And God has to give liberty to serve him, because the devil is there to make sure that we don't. But God has given us that liberty. God blessed us with His promise. God blessed us with His promise when He said He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus is a constant companion and friend, and He is now seated in heaven by the right hand of the Father, where He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And He promised to come for us. Listen, God blessed us with the indwelling Holy Spirit, who directs us, fills us, gifts us, teaches us, and will resurrect us. He is on earth in us, interceding for us. You see, Jesus is in heaven by the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. But the Holy Spirit is on earth in us, making intercession for us. And we are well represented before the Father. You see, God has mightily blessed us. Now, in Romans, the 4th chapter, verses 7 and 8, the Scripture says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Verse 8, blessed, fortunate, well off, happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The word impute means that God will not count sin to you. He will not lay sin to your charge. It simply means that you have been saved. Jesus paid for all of your sins, past, present, and future, and God will not charge sin to you. That is a teaching. So we are highly blessed in the Lord. We are redeemed. We are redeemed. Titus 2:14 says, who gave Himself for us. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself. He's the greatest sacrifice, the greatest one that heaven had. God gave His own Son to redeem us. Listen, Jesus willingly, voluntarily gave Himself for us without any price, merit, or worthiness on our part. He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. I like to emphasize the word all, because Jesus redeems us from all iniquity. And I like to labor that point, because there are people who think, well, I committed this sin and God won't forgive it. See, people believe there's a sin that God won't forgive. But there are three things that God does not know. He does not know of a sin that He loves. He does not know of a sinner that He doesn't love. He does not know of a sinner that He won't save if they'll only repent and trust Him. But He redeemed us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself. And to put it in our language, purify simply means that Jesus made us acceptable to God through His death, burial, and resurrection. He did whatever it would take for a sinner to come to Him, be saved, and then Him present Him before a holy, righteous God in heaven forever. We need the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. But we're redeemed. Redeem means to buy out of. It means to set free or release by paying a ransom price. And the ransom price to purchase us and set us free is the precious, powerful, shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or lifestyle received by tradition from your fathers. We learn from that verse that wealth cannot purchase salvation for the soul. Now, we are not redeemed with silver and gold, but we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Then in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. How can God forgive us? By His grace. Grace? Yeah. By the riches of His grace. There is grace enough to meet the need. You think of the blood of Christ. It's a precious blood. It is precious because of what it does. The blood of Jesus makes us safe. The Word of God makes us sure. The blood of Jesus secures us. The Word of God assures us. Why, it's a pure blood. It is without blemish. It is not defiled. It is without spot. It is not corrupted, contaminated, or even tainted by sin nature. Jesus' blood is pure. It's a powerful blood. Listen, the blood of Jesus has an everlasting value, and it will never, no, never, no, never, no, never lose its power. Jesus' powerful blood overcomes the devil. Listen to Revelation 12:11. This is a verse of Scripture referring to the tribulation period and when the devil will be loose on this earth. And I believe we are living on the threshold of that time. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him." They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. There are three things in that verse of Scripture. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They defeated the devil in their lives through that blood. And by the word of their testimony. Listen, they were saved. They knew they were saved. They had that testimony. And also they loved not their lives unto the death. There was a time in their lives when as Christians they died to self, surrendered everything to the Lord, and they loved not their lives to the death. Listen, it's a peace-giving blood. It cleanses a person from all sin. It removes guilt and anger. There's so many angry people in the world now. And we can have peace. Probably you've heard someone say, you better make peace with God. How do you make peace with God? We have it in Colossians 1:20. And having made peace, we made the peace. How? Really, God made it with us. Made peace. We make it through the blood of his cross. The cross is so important. The blood that was shed on the cross is important. I stand before you today with a testimony that I've been saved. I believe people in this congregation could get up, give testimony, and say, "I'm saved." And you were saved because of the cross and the blood that was shed on that cross. But the blood of the cross, by him, by the Lord Jesus, to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Many years ago, there was a great parliament of religion that was held in Chicago. Almost every known religion from around the world was there. And during one session, a Dr. Joseph Clark, a cook of Boston, suddenly rose and said, "Gentlemen, I beg to introduce to you a woman with a great sorrow. Bloodstains are on her hands, and nothing she has ever tried has been able to remove them. The blood is that of murder. She has been driven to desperation in her distress. Is there anything in your religion that can give this woman peace?" And a hush fell over that great crowd of people, religious people. No one said anything. And raising his eyes toward heaven, Dr. Cook said, John, can you tell this woman how to rid herself of her awful sin?" And then he listened, as if listening for a reply. And suddenly he said, listen, John speaks. And then he quoted 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin." Not a soul broke the silence in that great crowd of people. The representatives of Eastern religion and Western cults sat dumb. In the face of human need, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood, is all that could meet the need. The sin of this fallen human race demands the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary. You see, it is a preserving blood. The blood saves from God's wrath, and it saves for all eternity. It was Miss Fanny Crosby who wrote, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy." And then she said, "His child and forever forever and forever I am. Oh, listen, thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has presented his word to us. In John 17, 8, Jesus, this is during Jesus' prayer, he said, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." Now, we believe in word inspiration. I do. I don't believe God mince words. I don't believe he wasted words. I believe he means what he says what he meant. And he said, "I've given unto them the words which thou gavest me." That's plural, words. So that means every word of the Bible. "Words which thou hast given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee." Listen, they received the words that Jesus gave. And when they received the words that Jesus gave, they knew spiritual truth. And that's the reason we need the Word of God in our churches, from our pulpits, Sunday school, song books. We need the Word of God, because through the Word we can know surely that Jesus came from the Heavenly Father, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Then in verse 14 of John 17, as Jesus said, "I've given them thy word," singular word. You see, the word of God, as a word inspiration, we believe that, but the word of God is a unit, it's a whole. The scripture says it cannot be broken. So we take the Bible as a whole, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know, believing the Word of God doesn't make you popular. You know that. It will not make you popular in church. Now, God's Word is filled with promises. So I want to ask you to pay close attention to the importance of knowing and claiming His promises. In Hebrews, the 7th chapter, verses 6 and 7, the scripture says, "But he," speaking of Melchizedek. Now, who was Melchizedek? He was back in the book of Genesis. And he was a type of Christ. You see, he didn't have a beginning of days. His birth is not recorded. His death is not recorded. But he was there as a king over a city. But here's what we want to see. "But he," Melchizedek, "whose descent is not counted from them, received tithes of Abraham." Abraham been on a mission coming back, and he tithed to Melchizedek. Now, this is before the law was given. So don't tell me that the tithe is not to be exercised nowadays. It's just grace now. No, some people don't have much grace, man. We need a guideline. And listen, he received tithes of Abraham. Now, listen, blessed him that had the promises. Why did he bless him? He had the promises. You see, God had promised Abraham. He promised him a seed. He promised him a land, and so on. And he's the father of us all, a father of faith. So he was highly blessed. He had the promises. And without all contradiction, you cannot contradict this, the less Abraham, us, is blessed of the better. And the Lord is the better. So we say, study the Bible, learn the promises, claim them as your own, because God blesses him that has the promises. We need to make much of the Word of God. Jesus prepared his Word to us, but listen, he is preparing a place for us. Listen to it, John 14, 1. "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't let it be agitated. Don't be disturbed. "You believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus said, "You believe the same thing about me that you believe about God. We're one." "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, there's something about this scripture that's very interesting to me. We think that we're going to have a mansion up there, but notice what the scripture says. "In my Father's house are many mansions." I haven't been in many mansions. In my travels, I've seen some, been in a few. Didn't want to live in any of them. There are many mansions. I think of a mansion being large, luxurious. a place where you would be comfortable. And so, that being so, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, that's a big house. They have all these mansions in that house. I don't know, but I want you to know what Jesus said. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He didn't say give us one of these mansions. Now, he may, I don't know. But he's going to prepare a special place for prepared people. And he will be coming for us. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, he's not preparing these places for people who are not going there. He is not building them, preparing them, and then tearing them down because the person lost their salvation. I do not believe you can lose what the blood purchased. Now, think about that. Give it some thought. We are heaven bound. Jesus promised to return for us. Oh, he's preparing the place, but he promised to return for us. Notice John 14:3. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I. Now, he's not sending the angel. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He's coming to receive you. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Revelation 4:1, the scripture says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, a door. And the first voice I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. There was a door open. And then he heard a voice as if a trumpet. A trumpet is loud, distinct, clear. No mistake in this voice. And every believer will hear it. And he said, I was a trumpet talking with me. And the trumpet, it spoke a language he understood. Talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. This is the rapture. This is the catching out, the snatching out of the church. We'll be called up to meet him. Now, in Revelation 4, a door opens to let us in. But notice this. In Revelation 19, when the Lord Jesus comes back in all the blaze and splendor of his glory, and he's bringing us back, it's known as the revelation. There's a rapture. Then there will be the revelation. He's coming back with us, glorified, all the blaze and splendor of his glory. The heavens roll back as a scroll to let him back in. What a great, wonderful time that is. You thank the Lord that you're saved. When is he coming? I know when he's coming. He is coming when the days are like they were in the days of Noah. That's now. He is coming when people least expect him. Well, that's now. People are not looking for Jesus. Churches are not looking for Jesus. They're looking for entertainment. Listen, Jesus is coming when the world is in chaos and ready for the Antichrist. That's now. That is now. You say, well, I'll be glad when all this, these protesters and all clear. Listen, it's not going away, friend. Listen. There is a day of lawlessness coming, and it's here. Who would have dreamed that we were going to be in it? But I think it's very possible that we will be here when he comes for us, I pray. But he's coming. So prepare to meet thy God. Be ready. Be ready. Romans the 10th chapter, verses 12 and 13 says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or between the Jew and the Gentile. No difference. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that do one thing, that call upon him. He's rich to save us. God provided a free salvation for every one of us. Verse 13, for whosoever. Now when it says whosoever, that includes you, it includes me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, this is not just saying something with the lips. A person can say something with the lips and it never be in their heart. That's not, it's referring to the heart. It's a heart call. In other words, we want to be saved more than we want our sin. We want to be saved more than we want our will. Lord, we're ready for you. We are calling upon you to save us. And Jesus said, John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, not for any reason. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able. He is able also to save them to the uttermost, or save them completely, save them to the end that come unto God by him. How can he do that? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. John 5:24 presents it so clearly. Verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, he that, number one, heareth my word. We hear God speak this word to our hearts. Heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Now here we have past, future, and present in the remainder of this scripture. It says, sent me hath everlasting life. That's past. We have it. We have it now. Okay. And then it speaks of the future. It shall not come into condemnation. We're not coming into condemnation. Jesus took it for us. And I'm so thankful. And then it tells us about the present. But is past at this present moment. It's past from death unto life. And we have that eternal life. Years ago, there was a Scotchman. He was a prize fighter, a gambler, and a drunk. But in society, they count him as a notable fellow. So don't go to the world for your role model. And one day this man was saved, and he became a soul winner and a preacher. God mightily blessed his message. At one service, just before he got up to preach, he's sitting on the platform, and someone came and handed him an envelope with a letter in it. He opened it up and began to read. It listed his sins that he had committed in that city. His first thoughts were to run away. But instead of running away, he stepped to the front of the platform and he said, "Friends, I have been accused of sins and crimes committed in your city. I will read them to you." And he took that letter and began to read the sins and crimes that he had committed in that city. The congregation sat there. They're listening. And when he finished reading them, he looked at the congregation and with a broken heart said, "I'm guilty of them all." Now you ask, how can I be here standing before you speaking of righteousness and truth with a list of offenses like these against my name? He said, "I'll tell you how." And he read 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This saying is worthy to be accepted, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And when we come to the place, we can say, "I believe I'm the chief of sinners, but I want Christ to save me." He will save you. God provided a full, finished, final, free salvation for every one of us. Jesus brings us into a personal, eternal relationship with himself and the Heavenly Father. No other God in the world, God with a little g, does that for his or her followers. People are afraid to offend their God. They are afraid they will be killed, severely punished, and are abandoned. But our compassionate Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake you." Listen, you can trust this Savior. He will not forsake you. He will never let you go. He forgives all sins, and he will not impute sin to you. That's shouting ground. Trust Jesus to save you now. Just let go and let God. Let's stand with our heads bowed, and we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll have an invitation for you to do whatever God says for you to do. And we want you to know that you're welcome to come to this church. You're welcome to be a member in this church. It's a loving church, a caring church. People here care for each other, and they would love to see you come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for that precious blood that was shed on Calvary. Thank you for your love. Lord, thank you that you reached down, way down, and gave us a lift that lasts. Thank you that you revealed yourself to us. We were in such darkness. We knew about religion, knew about denominations, but we did not know about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you came and convicted us and showed us and drew us to you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Now we pray for that soul in this building that's never been saved. If they died today, they would not go to that beautiful heaven. They would not be in the rapture and would not return with Jesus when he comes in all the blaze and splendor of his glory. But they need to be saved. They want to be saved. And we ask you to bring them today and save them. Dear Father, help those who need a church home. Lord, help those who have special needs to respond today to the Holy Spirit as we give this invitation. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.